Wow, that was a blessing. Thank you, Brother Grandy. We appreciate that song there. I do want to publicly apologize for Brother Joseph not wearing a suit coat tonight. He is an assistant pastor, and he does know better. So I want to apologize, and I'm not interested in reasons right now. It doesn't really matter. He came up here still. Actually, he bailed me out tonight. I don't know how many of you or what was said, but I got here about 6:45, and right when I helped my wife, just trying to be a husband, good husband here, take Benji out of the car, he decided to give a little couple burps. I'm thinking, okay, there's a men burp, amen, that's okay. And then he just unleashed on my whole wardrobe pretty much, and I think he lost 5 pounds there. He threw up, and I came in. Everyone else has laughed at me, but Brother Joseph was the only good Samaritan there. I saw Brother Ross walk by. Brother John Fierro was walking by, but he's the only one that helped me. Now, I'm wearing his clothes for the most part, okay? Everything fits perfectly except for the belly part, Brother Joseph. A little tight there, but I am 37, and that's what I tell myself, all right? But anyhow, let's turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter number 5. The clothes is new, but the stench is still there, so I will not be long, all right? Galatians chapter number 5, I hope this sermon doesn't stink, all right? Galatians 5, we're going to look at one verse. Nothing else can be more of a distraction than smelling throw up while you're preaching. Well, I have right now. Galatians chapter number 5, I'm going to read one verse and we're going to give an introduction and then we're going to preach tonight. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 5, let's all stand together. There's one verse here. I hear some, oh man, come on. Galatians chapter number 5, we're going to look at verse number 7. And if we can read this together twice, that would be a blessing. Ready, begin. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? One more time, please. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? And let's pray. Father, I desire to be a blessing tonight. I really do. The opportunity to preach isn't an opportunity to tell people where they need to grow, but it's an opportunity for all of us to preach or alike, to study the Word of God, to allow your Word to search our hearts for areas that we need to change. But Lord, I fully understand that before there can ever be change, there must be a willingness to acknowledge. I pray that tonight's message, as the Word of God is preached, that we would have hearts ready to acknowledge any area that would help us to grow, whether if it's by a little bit or a lot. May we be willing, please, and may you get glory for tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? The obstacles that we face in life that keep us from fulfilling God's will are often not a matter of what is hindering us, but rather who is hindering us. For example, your appetites are a result of the who's in your life. You know, I mention this often anytime I have a conversation with anybody. I love sushi. Amen. Can I get some sushi lovers to say amen out there? There you go. We're not talking about California rolls here, okay? We're talking about sushi. I love sushi, not because it's in the Bible, okay? I do think there are some verses in there that can justify that. I love it because of the who's in my life. I hung out with people that helped me to develop that appetite. Another thing is I love medium rare beef. Can I get an amen on that? Now, listen, I get highly offended when some people out there go, oh, that ain't cooked, or, oh, yeah, that's raw. Educate yourself a little bit, all right? Now, if you like well done, that's fine, but don't blaspheme the correct way to eat meat, all right? But I love it. But you know why? Because I have family members that love medium rare beef. I used to go to Sizzler. Don't go there anymore, amen. But I used to get well done, and I thought that was the best version, a way of eating a steak, until I ate it mid-rare. Good. And I remember taking some boys from our school to, Brazilian steakhouse over here. I forgot the name of it already. But it's right over here by the traffic circle. And they saw the way that I ate that meat, and it was bloody. And they're like, ew, that's going to make me sick, like Benji was sick tonight, amen. And I said, give it a try, or else I'm not going to take you home. Amen. Good old way to pressure them to doing right. They tried it and they never turned back since. But you know why I developed that appetite and they developed that appetite? Because they were around people that had that appetite. Now, on a serious note here, we're not going to talk about physical appetites, but we're going to talk about something spiritual. There are who's in our life that are hindering us from many things that God has for us. But before we consider the who, let's first consider what we are being hindered from tonight. First of all, we are hindered from obeying the truth. We don't have an appetite to obey God's word. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." It is God's desire that every Christian in this room and in this world has an appetite for the things of God. What that means is you hunger for it. The same way that you hunger for a good taco, amen? The same way that you hunger for a good steak. God wants you to hunger for the things of God. Unfortunately, we're being hindered from obeying truth, which is the word of God. Another thing is the truths of God do not appeal to us anymore. In other words, preaching bores us. By the way, be very, very careful. There's a difference between being tired when you come to church because of a long day's work and just not being interested. Okay, I'm okay with some people falling asleep because they had a long day, but if you had 16 hours of rest and, man, you were laying around on the couch all day and then you come to church and you're yawning, there's a problem there. We're not being appealed to by the things of God. And it's good to teach our children to be fascinated with the things of God. Ask them what they learned. Go over it with them, whatever the message was. Next, it is a chore to read the Bible daily, if even at all. Now, I know Pastor Myers is big on don't say prayer is hard work and Bible reading. I get what he's trying to say, and we understand that reading the Bible consistently and praying the way that we ought to is going to take dedication and work, right? Should not be hard because we should love God. Why is it hard? Because of our flesh, okay? However, if we don't obey the truth and have a hunger and thirst after righteousness, we don't desire the Word of God, and it's a chore. It's kind of like, you know, I don't really like to watch a lot of these little learning things with my kids. My wife does. She knows all the songs. She can sing them backwards. It's a chore for me to sit down and watch it with my kids. Now, why do I do that? I want to make sure it's good and it's not bad, right? By the way, it's a little plug in here. Parents know what your kids are watching, okay? However, it's a chore for me. But if you put on a food vlog or a sermon, amen, man, I can watch that stuff all night long, those delicious sermons, amen? Next, we are hindered from living a life of truth. Not only are we hindered from obeying the truth, but we are hindered from a life of truth. By the way, God desires for us to live in truth. So much, too many lies going around. Yep. You know, Pastor Myers has joked about it a lot, but Instagram, that's a great opportunity for people to lie about their life. Yep. You know, I mean, 50 pictures, but they're going to post the best one after, you know, the greatest filter that turns you into someone that you're really not, okay? I think my sister put in the thread the other day. Someone took a picture of us. They posted on their Facebook. Man, I look like a white person. I had no blemishes, no crow's feet. I like this, man. I wish I could just walk around with like a filter, amen? That's pretty cool, but that's a lie. So whoever's in Cambodia or whatever part of the world that's looking at me, that isn't me. I don't look that good, okay? And by the way, we live a lie sometimes. We really do. We got to be careful about that. God wants us to live in truth. Why? Because he's truth. John 14:6, Jesus saith, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me." By the way, that's why we ought to teach our kids to live in truth. You know, lying should be a big deal in your household. You know, in my household, when they lie, all right, it's big consequences. Why? Because lying to me is far worse than hurting your brother, okay? Hurting your sister. Because lying is one of the greatest attributes of who? The devil. And when you live a lie, you resemble him. We want to be careful about that. Why else does God want us to live in truth? Because the truth delivers us from bondage. John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Also, because living outside of truth has its repercussions. How? Our testimony's damaged. When you are a Christian and people identify you as a Christian and you live out of truth, you have a damaged testimony. And as a result, who is damaged? Christ's image is damaged. What do we often do with our kids when we go to someone's house, right? People don't always realize this, but before we get out of the car, listen to me. Don't you make me look bad. You do good. We're going to sit in church. I tell my kids that. By the way, after I preached on child rearing one time, and all these people, they stare at my kids like crazy in church now. And this is going to help them stare even more, amen? And that's okay. But I want to teach my kids, you're representing God first, you're representing your family. Do right. Do right. But our testimony is damaged. Also, people will not be drawn to Christ by looking at our lives. You know, one thing I don't enjoy staring at people this way, but one thing that I do with my wife and others as well, you see someone and they're dressed modestly or they represent their business well, you think more highly about them. You think more highly about that company. You know, there's restaurants I go into and everything is spot on. The way they greet you, the way they seat you, the way that they behave when they're not serving anyone, they're standing there attentive. And you think highly about that institution, that restaurant. But then I've also been at places where every opportunity they can, they're on their phones, they're texting, and they're not responding to, you know, your empty water cups, et cetera, et cetera. We want to make sure that we are not being that type of testimony for the Lord. Also, God wants us to get the blessings that come with living in truth. And by the way, I'm glad that I serve a God that wants to bless me. You know, it's my son's birthday, not tomorrow, but Thursday. And my wife and I, we get together. What can we get for him? What do you think he will enjoy? What do you think he needs? You know, God is the same way. He's looking always for opportunities to bless you. He's always looking for ways to increase your standard of living. He's always looking for ways to put a smile on your face. He really does. We understand that blessings come with obedience. The biggest blessings we can get from obedience is what? God's favor. I remember a pastor taught me that. What is the best thing that God can give you? And I'm thinking about money. I'm thinking about a good wife, all these things. The best thing that you can have, the best thing that I can have, the best thing that our children can have is God's favor. Why? Because everything else comes with it. Everything else comes with it. Safety, protection, his perfect will. When God favors you, he takes care of you. John 14, 21, the Bible says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, not just having it, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I don't know about you, but one of the greatest feelings and one of the greatest things for me to muse on is the fact that God loves me. And by the way, God wants to take care of me. Psalms 145, 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. I have a question for you. Is God nigh to you? You know, the Bible says draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. But the question tonight is God nigh to you? Just because we're all in close proximity to the pulpit does not mean that God is nigh to us. The way that we're living, the way that we adore him, the way that we treat him, the way that we live our lives in truth determine God's closeness to us. I would hope to think that we desire God to be close to us. How about it this evening? Are we being hindered from obeying the truth? Are we being hindered from living a life of truth? Are we missing out on the blessings of an obedient life? You know, one of the things that is, I gotta be careful with this illustration, but sometimes there's sales and sometimes there's coupons that have an expiration date, right? And everyone gets really excited about it, but sometimes they get sidetracked. They forget to use the coupon in time. And as a result, they miss out. And it's a horrible feeling. You know why it's a horrible feeling? We want all the deals that we qualify for, okay? Anything out there that I qualify for, I want to get. Well, guess what? There are so many blessings that we qualify for in life. And if we're not living right, if we're not living straight, we're going to miss out on those blessings. We're going to miss out on those coupons. We're going to miss out on those sales. Unfortunately, far too often, we have seen Christians once have a heart for God, once desire to work in the ministry, once make commitment after commitment after commitment, youth conference, summer camp, Thursday night service, a Sunday night service, a Sunday morning service, whatever it may be, a marriage retreat. So many decisions, so many commitments, but then something happened. But in actuality, someone happened. Someone happened. Now that we have discussed what we can be hindered from, let's consider the who that can cause the hindering in the first place. I like to talk about three who's that can possibly hinder us from living an obedient Christian life. Number one, there's the who of disappointment that can hinder us. The who of disappointment. This is someone that hurt us and we never got over it. I think we can all agree that nobody wants to be hurt. Nobody wants to be hurt. I'm not just talking about physical pain. I'm talking about emotional pain. But if we were to be honest tonight, we understand that physical pain oftentimes goes away very quickly. If I got a cut, I can heal that fairly quickly. If I twist my ankle over a matter of a couple of days or a couple of weeks, it will feel better. But emotional pain, being hurt in that way, sometimes that sticks for a very long time. And we have to be careful because oftentimes we have heard and come to understand in our own life, hurt people, what? Hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. The who of disappointment can hinder us. Got a question for you tonight. Is it a parent? Is it a sibling? Is it a friend? Is it a church leader? Is it somebody close to your life? And maybe they don't even know about it because you have chosen not to tell them. Or maybe they do know about it, but they hurt you and you've never forgotten about it. As a matter of fact, as I'm going over this point, you're blocking off most else of what I'm saying because you're reliving that hurt and you're reliving that pain. By the way, God doesn't want us to stick with that. Unforgiveness can lead to bitterness. We often think that unforgiveness works in our favor. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to forgive them. I'm not going to let them off the hook. But in reality, you're keeping yourself on the hook. When I choose to live an unforgiving life and I choose to allow compartments in my memory to stay untouched where nobody can touch it, nobody can alter it, I choose to have those compartments there as a chamber of unforgiveness that I can hold on to whenever I want to. For what purpose? To be angry? To live in anguish? To grind your teeth? To be bitter? Let's be careful about unforgiveness. Fellas in the front, pay attention, please. Unforgiveness can lead to bitterness. We often think that unforgiveness works in our favor. Unfortunately, it works against us as it leads to bitterness. Number one, under that, bitterness will destroy us. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. What does it mean to be defiled? Of no use. I don't know about you, but I have plans for my life. I don't want my life to be corrupt. I don't want my life to be defiled, and I will not allow somebody to cause that in my life as a result of unforgiveness. It's not worth hanging on to. Bitterness not only destroys us, but bitterness traps us. The Bible says in Acts 8:23, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the blood of iniquity." Gall means bile from an animal, a yellow or greenish alkaline fluid. Amen. Boy, that sounds familiar. A yellow, maybe Benji just wanted to contribute to the message tonight. A yellow or a greenish alkaline fluid secreted by the liver where it aids especially in the absorption of fats. That's what gall means. I don't want nothing to do with that. It traps us from growing as a Christian. It traps us in a life of anger. You ever seen people that aren't just angry occasionally, but they're always angry? It's like, you just never know. Are they going to shake my hand or slug me? I mean, any little thing can trip them up. I mean, most people, you know, I mean, something will happen. Someone will accidentally close the door on them. Oh, man, got hurt there or whatever. Other people, oh, they break the door off. That will never happen again. And, man, it's crazy. We don't want to live that way, but it traps us. You know, I thought about that word trap. Should I use it? And I want to. You know, trap is like being in prison, being behind bars. Trapped is like being tied to a chair and being trapped and being constricted from free movement. And by the way, you say, no, it's not. It is. Because bitterness causes you not to be free. And bitterness causes you to carry that anguish with you everywhere you go. Someone once said, anger is an emotion, while bitterness is a spirit that binds us. Bitterness is a spirit that binds us. Next, bitterness will create problematic patterns in our life. Proverbs 10:12, the Bible says, hatred steereth up strife, but love covereth all sins. You know, we constantly create patterns, good patterns and bad patterns. But when you are bitter, it will continue to create patterns of unforgiveness. Someone causes you pain. You choose to unforgive them or not forgive them because of bitterness. Well, guess what? Your next relationship, the same applies. Your next relationship, the same applies. Your relationship to your children when you have kids, it carries on over. Everywhere you go, someone hurts you. It could be someone that's never hurt you before. It could be someone that's been a blessing to you most of your life. But but it will carry over and over again. This is why some people stay out from trusting or from forming new relationships. I think my wife would be okay with me using this, but she's probably tending to my son, so she can't hear me. But it took a while for my wife to say I love you to me. I don't know what her problem was. I was starting to think, maybe she's not normal. Maybe she's not normal. I don't know. I would say I love you. All those stories that I heard as a teenager, you know, the guy says I love you, the girl just stares. I go, that's not going to happen with me. Well, these guys are probably just making that stuff up. I said, well, maybe there's a language barrier. She's Filipina. I don't know what it is. What's going on over here? And so I said it, and it's been a couple weeks, and I said, I'm about to take this back. I love you note on a fishing string, and I was getting ready to reel it back, amen? And finally, I found out why. Her mom died when she was 14. And not a lot of people know this story, but this is a good sermon in itself, but she was very bitter at the situation because her mom was taken at 14. For many reasons, and I'm not going to get into all those reasons. And as a result, she allowed that to kind of influence the way she would have future relationships. She kind of didn't want to fall in love again. By the way, she still hasn't said I love. Just kidding, right? She had to when we got married. I mean, it's just Pastor Esposito said, you have to do this. I'm just sorry, Leslie. We gotta move forward with the service. However, because of what she held on to when she was 14, it possibly could have affected our marriage. By the way, she's gotten over that by God's grace. Bitterness is a scary thing. Next, our children will pattern their lives after our patterns. By the way, this is so true, and I don't want to step on any feet here, but I have learned in the experiences that God has given me in life and through the wisdom of Pastor Myers, Pastor Esposito, the different men that are on staff here that are older than me, children generally follow in the footsteps of the parents. That's the bottom line. Parents that blow up over every little thing, they don't know how to solve problems. They don't know how to take ownership. Kids are constantly doing the same thing. Parents that make excuses about things, kids are constantly making. Listen, parents, for the good of your child, make some changes, amen. Don't create these bad patterns because you will see it manifested in your children. Let's be cautious about that. I don't want my kids to be upset all the time. I don't want my kids to be bitter. I don't want my kids to walk around angry. So if I don't want that, I shouldn't be that. Let's be cautious about that. Number two, so number one is the who of disappointment. Number two, the who of detour can hinder us. The who of detour can hinder us. This is someone that may look the part, but are weighed down by the world. They look the part. They dress as a Christian. They know how to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. And they're generally very polite and very respectful. However, they're weighed down by the world. This doesn't mean that this person doesn't love God. I believe that they're trying to be sincere. They want to go to church. They want to read their Bibles. They want to pray. They want to get close to God. However, their appetite for the world is far greater than their appetite for God. And so they're living on the fence. The Bible calls it lukewarm. We can call it mediocrity. This is a very dangerous Christian. Why? Because this is someone that can hinder our progress for God. You know, generally speaking, you look at someone that's not living for the Lord, we can discern, you know, that person, look, they're drinking alcohol, they're doing drugs, they're in a gang. I don't want nothing to do with that. They're not going to influence me. But then you have these other people that look like they know how to say, they say amen, and they dress the part. And it's like, wow, look at them. Why am I living with such a standard of holiness when it's so inconvenient in today's society, when they look like they're fine? They look like they're prospering in the world, when in reality, they're not prospering in God's eyes because they're worldly. The Bible says, if you love the world, you're an enemy of God. That's what the Bible says. There's no fence there. There's no fence in God's eyes that's justified. We have to be careful about that. This is someone that will hinder our progress. The Bible says in Galatians 5:7, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. A stumbling block is an obstacle to progress. Don't allow these people to place obstacles in your life to keep you from being the holy, godly Christian that God intends. Got a question for you on this point. Have I allowed ourselves to get to the conclusion that it's okay to live a subpar Christian life? Have we allowed that to happen? It's okay to be a part of these things that I know I probably don't want people to know about. But hey, I go to church. Hey, I have a Bible. Hey, I give to the building. That's all fine and dandy. But the most important thing that God is not your outward, but it's your inward. God wants to know your heart. And I believe that far too many Christians have fallen into the trap of Satan. He's a deceiver. And as a deceiver, he wants you to think that as a Christian that he can no longer take to hell with him. As a Christian that is born again now, he wants you to think that it's okay to live an alternative Christian life to what your pastor's preaching, to what the Bible is teaching. We got to be careful about that. They desire for us, along with Satan, to contemplate and to justify in our minds that we don't have to be great in God's eyes. We can just be good. We don't have to be great. We just have to be good. Let's be very cautious about worldly Christians that can influence us in this way. Number three, and I'm done. Not only did we see the who of disappointment or the who of detour, but now let's look at the who of derailment that can hinder us. The who of derailment. This is someone that is not interested in the things of God at all. And by the way, let me say this. Be very careful. Let it bother you. You know, my kids are still very young, but if I see in church that they have no desire and interest in godly things, I'm the same way in chapel as the teenagers. You don't have to be the best singer. You don't have to sing the loudest. But if you look like you're just, church is just like a chore, That's scary to me, because far more important than me feeling like this is an area for me to correct you is my concern to see if there's salvation there or not. Because the truth of the matter is, any born-again Christian, no matter how tired they are, we ought to get excited at least a little bit about the things of God. We ought to get excited at least a little bit when God is preached. We ought to get excited at least a little bit when we learn things from the Word of God that would draw us closer to Him, that would put us in a position, so that we can be blessed more by Him. The who of derailment has no interest in God whatsoever. This is someone that isn't trying to get you from great to good. Their goal is to get you to quit altogether. They may be lurking around church with bad motives, with the desire of getting people to fall down to where they're at so they can feel better about themselves. Isn't that interesting how that works? Getting these conversations and they try to justify what they do. What they're really trying to do is trying to get you to fall so they can feel better, so they can feel more normal. Next. This is someone that is a grave danger to you. A scorner, possibly. Critical in spirit, maybe against the church, the college, the leaders, the school. Hey, you know what? That was really good, but yeah, I tell you, Pastor, Brother so-and-so, Mrs. so-and-so, I can't believe they made this decision. And as a result, now, you may initially have this enough spirituality to say, you know what? I don't want to listen to that. But the more you allow yourself to be exposed to them, the more you will listen to that. I remember one time there's a very famous preacher that used to come to our church, and someone just told me at Bible college, man, that preacher went to my home church. It was in Texas. They sat on the platform. A liberal group came up to sing, and they were nodding their heads saying amen. And it was a liberal group, like Southern God. It was liberal. And in my mind, I go, nah, you know what? He's just doing the polite thing. He's a guest preacher. Come on now, give him a break. And I remember that guy came to preach at our college a couple times. I'm thinking, liberal. Well, I defended him, but in my mind, liberal. And by the way, lest you cast judgment on me, we often fall subject to that. Yeah. How often is that someone says something about someone and you're like, nah, I don't believe it. And then you look at that person. No. Oh, he may be right. Let's be careful. Always sowing discord. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:19. By the way, it's an abomination to God, Bible says, right there with all the other abominable things. They possibly are unsaved. And by the way, I'm never one person to say, hey, you're unsaved or you're saved. That's for God and you to decide. However, generally speaking, someone that is trying to derail you, is sometimes they could be unsaved. They could also be backslidden and either obvious, oblivious of it or proud of it. Have you ever met anyone that's just proud of being backslidden? Like they're totally fine with it. Like, you know, they know they're doing wrong and they're getting with their buddies and they're putting on wrong music when they're getting in their car and it doesn't faze them at all. I remember in Bible college that happened one time. This guy, he had a really nice car and he wanted to show off and he would just talk about his stuff and it was kind of a ride to a work situation. And I was just kind of like, what are you doing, man? I was a bus captain. What are you listening to? Ah, man, don't be telling me what to do in my own car. Wait till you get out. I go, you shouldn't be doing this. This is wrong. And now by God's grace, someone else chimed in and he turned it down. But there are people out there that have no care for what they're doing. No care. Now, there are people that care, right? But they're still trapped in sin. But I'm talking about people that are like, what's the big deal? I can do what I want. Yeah, oh, you saw me in a bar? Did you see me the other day? Because I was there too. And they have no remorse. They'll post things on Facebook and Instagram, and they'll just like, okay, what's it? Go ahead and comment, you judgmental Christians out there. You're living a life void of Christ. You should have a problem with that. We should have a problem with that. And let's be cautious about that. How about it tonight? Have we lost our appetite for truth? Have we become dull of hearing towards the truth of God's word? You know, one great thing as I'm closing is for us to search our hearts. Search our hearts. You know, one of the biggest struggles that I have as a Christian is when I stop searching myself. When I stop taking inventory, what does taking inventory mean? Just taking a glance at what I'm doing. What am I watching? What am I a part of? What are my hobbies? You know, and I'm not going to get into it too much, but there are some things that we're doing as Christians that's going to cause us to miss out on God's perfect plan. There are people, as we mentioned, that we are hanging around with tonight that is going to cause us to lose our joy for Christ. And we have to be cautious for that. Who doth hinder us? Who doth hinder us? So the question tonight is, who is hindering you from being what God wants you to be? May we identify that and may we fix the problem. Let's pray tonight.